I live in a town called Nilbog, where everyone has no emotions, and somehow there's a tourist that no one ever addresses who dies in the first act, and then no one ever talks about it again, and what really happens to Arnold after he gets to turn into a potted plant, but we don't really talk about it, but I'm bound.
Chelsea Sanders.
Yes.
Chelsea.
Hello.
Daughter of Colonel. And she hosts the Stupid Sequels podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I am an ex-theater nerd. You know, only that they don't let me on stage anymore, but I'm still a theater nerd deep down. And I host a podcast about bad sequels to good movies because I am a glutton for pain and I think they're hilarious. And yeah.
What kind of movies have you been covering?
A lot of the Disney ones. Those are just unending. Fox and the Hound 2, Beauty and the Beast, Enchanted Christmas, Mulan 2. And then there's the ones that are just the category called.
Really? Why? Why does that exist?
Like Cruel Intentions 2 and American Psycho 2 and Sandlot 2. Movies that you didn't know there were sequels to for a good reason.
Not a big fan of Sandlot 2?
No, it is. You know, it's not the worst one I've seen, I have to say. But no, not a fan as compared to the original. And that's kind of what I talk about because a lot of these, you know, Sandlot 2 on its own is an average kid sports movie. But if you compare it to the original Sandlot, you're like, well, this is hot, hot garbage. Why would you bother? And that's the case in a lot of those sequels is, American Psycho 2, for instance, was just a horror movie called The Girl Who Couldn't Die. And they're like, well, no one will see this. So they shot a 3-minute intro sequence. They're like, by the way, did we mention that Patrick Bates killed her babysitter? Anyway, now it's American Psycho 2. And it has hardly anything to do with American Psycho outside of that. So there's ones like that that fall into that category. And those are kind of the ones that are more interesting to me. Because I'm like, well, what were you thinking? Why would you do that to yourselves? You took a perfectly average movie and shot it in the foot out the gate.
Yeah, it did have Mila Kunis in it, so I'm kind of surprised that they didn't just market it as is.
And William Shatner.
Yeah, so how did that even get translated over to American Psycho?
A lot of voiceover, essentially. The dialogue in the movie and the tone of her voiceover are so despairingly different. It's so clear that it was done in post and it was not intentional because kind of the joke in the movie is like, hi, I'm Mila Kunis, and I'm so bright and bubbly, and I'm a cheerleader, and also a sociopath. Ha ha! But her inner monologue is very much like the Patrick Bateman, like, everyone thinks I'm just this person, but I'm barely the shell of a person, and I don't know. Like, which it doesn't gel well with the rest of the feeling of the movie as it takes place on screen. And you can definitely tell, like, well, this scene was filmed, and this scene was filmed when it became American Psycho 2. And they don't They're shoehorned in. They don't make sense within the context of the movie, and they don't really fit.
I think Troll 2 is a good example of that kind of movie as well.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you've researched this film, but
of just shoehorning things in where they don't belong.
It's not really a sequel to Troll 1 at all. It's
no.
Goblins.
At all.
There's no trolls in the actual movie.
And
in fact, the audience is the one who's being trolled.
Yes, yeah. And it's a sequel in the way that Titanic 2 is a sequel, in that they share a name and a number and a general theme.
Titanic 2.
You don't know about Titanic 2? It's a horror movie. It's very close to, like, Poseidon Adventure, one of those. Yeah, it's just a horror movie that happens to take place on the Titanic, except it's very 90s dialogue, and there's no mention of Kate Winslet or Leonardo DiCaprio or any of the other characters from the movie.
Titanic 2, Search for Atlantis.
I think we should talk about the movie in question, though.
Troll 2.
Troll 2, released in 1990, which I showed Joe for the first time today.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of it?
I mean, obviously my first instinct was that it's very terrible. And while you're watching it, there's no clear plot. And that's just the beginning. The characters have no depth. It's actually a very good timepiece for that time. Like it has like a very 80s feel, like vacation movies Like, I could watch the movie just for the references to in old America throughout.
Well, 1990 old. I mean,
yeah, but it has like, it's like a throwback to like a cabin feel. It's like a time that doesn't exist anymore. Going on vacation into these towns for a month and being eaten by goblins. That doesn't happen these days.
Yeah, it's more of a 90s thing to get eaten by goblins.
Very vintage feel.
Yeah.
I think we should start with kind of the production of this movie. And there's a couple things that went wrong right off the bat. One of them is that the directors and the crew are Italian and the actors are American. So there's a huge language barrier, which is probably why a lot of the dialogue was so awkward. Because they say weird things all the time, and it's very literal and very basic. It's like they seem to just say everything that they're thinking all the time.
Which is a very European way of filmmaking, where everyone just has their inner monologue out loud, and it doesn't fit in American filmmaking, especially in a horror movie.
Yeah, and that's not big in American films, exactly. And so it feels awkward. Even when people are just saying normal things, it feels like a lot of the stuff they were saying is just things that they were supposed to be thinking.
And it feels like someone ran their internal thoughts through Google Translate and then ran it back.
Yeah, it's...
Because it's like, I guess they sort of make sense, but they're phrased in the weirdest way possible.
That's not how people talk.
No.
Some of the other stuff that went wrong is that instead of designing proper goblins, which, well, they're goblins, they're not trolls, we'll just accept that, I guess, because I guess it was shoehorned in, but the goblins are just made out of potato sacks and Halloween masks, which they didn't even try to, like, make a convincing goblin, which I feel like goblins are going to be pretty cheesy in general, so I give them a lot of credit, but, well, not credit, but a lot of grace, and even giving them that much grace, it's just some of the worst costuming I've ever seen.
I would have appreciated a Foghorn Leghorn reference.
Well, yeah. All movies should have Foghorn Leghorn references.
I did not know that it was Italian crew.
Yeah, that's a little detail, but if you don't know it, it just makes it even stranger. But yeah, it's very poorly translated into English.
And then even when the actors kind of said, hey, do you want us to kind of, you know, fix your translation and edit it a little bit, we can say it a little more normally, the director was very much like, no, you will say my words exactly as I wrote them. You don't know what you're saying. You'll say it. Like, he wouldn't admit that he didn't know what he was doing. And still won't to this day.
The sin of pride. Pride goeth before the, you know.
Troll?
You guys have any funny examples of that in mind? I mean, they call each other by, like, their titles in the family, like, big brother, little brother, big sister.
Or, yeah, they said, at one point, they said that kid who's the son of the Coopers, as opposed to just being like, oh, yeah, he's in the Cooper family.
I mean, just the mom's entire opening monologue of, like, your father and I and your sister were very sad at the funeral of your grandfather, and we are all very sad, including me, who is his daughter. Like,
yeah, stop being sad, by the way. It's been 6 months. That's the time limit on your grief.
Did you guys notice at the beginning the mother hates on the kid for
missing his grandfather?
Yeah, for the goblins thing, and then she goes up to the husband and is like suddenly like now aware of the goblins and believes, hey, what's with the goblins? He's going to be like, oh, so the goblins are a thing. And this
yeah,
is...
it's a very black and white way of treating the... It's like kids are automatically just shit, and you don't believe a thing they say. But the moment that an adult is involved, just everything is completely credible. And it's kind of awkward because, yeah, I wouldn't say we've moved past that as a society completely, but it's definitely changed now where...
You respect kids.
Yeah, and I feel like if my kid was like actually genuinely concerned that there were goblins and they had credible reasons to believe that, like getting thrown a baseball saying like, we're going to eat you, like that I might actually try to investigate. I don't know.
Well, yeah, like why is someone throwing that baseball? What's with the green goo?
Why is there so much green goo throughout the entire movie?
Yeah, what is with the green goo?
And why does no one question why all of the food is neon green or why all of the milk in this town is kept at room temperature? I mean, I think it's supposed to be that it has the chlorophyll vegetable property stuff in it. but that's never really explained. And then it's just like, this is Nilbog milk. Drink it up when you're jogging from campsite to campsite in the blazing sun. A big chug of milk will help that run go a lot smoother. Like,
speaking of which, do you know what, when you spell Nilbog backwards, it actually spells troll. Oh wait, no, it doesn't. It what spells does it goblin. Spell?
Goblin.
Because this movie is actually about goblins, not about trolls. Okay, so the movie kind of starts out after that where, what was it? Peter Pan, by the way, in the intro, because they were talking about Peter.
I think Peter's just a common name to use in folklore.
Okay.
That the directors were like, everyone knows Peter from the stories.
From we the will goblin call him, story. Yeah.
We will call him by name. Everyone will immediately know.
Princess Bride intro.
Yeah, and then there's that kind of like late 80s synthesizer kind of chase scene, and then it opens to the rest of the movie where, you know, we talked about with the mom, and then beyond that, they're apparently going to go swap houses with a family.
For a month.
And in the morning, or no, in the night before, the daughter's boyfriend comes up and scares the absolute shit out of her, and then, like, wants to come on the vacation last minute for like a month,
and he's just inviting himself.
Even if this is something that the father would be okay with, like, he doesn't go through the normal protocols at all. Like, I don't understand.
The daughter's lines are like, my dad hates you, he never wants to hang out with you, you're coming on vacation with us. Like, that's the exact progression of ideas.
Yeah, he's both, like, really inattentive of his girlfriend, but also, like, really wanting to go away with her for a month.
And very involved with his boys.
Yeah. Sleeping together. Literally.
Like. And she's not into group sex, which was the first line of the movie where I went, oh no. Yeah. Oh god, no.
I also like how they insinuate that if he were to lose his genitalia, that he would suddenly become a homosexual.
Well, of course.
Like, this is a very basic, like...
It's the same... Same, it's just in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
Like, someone who doesn't have genitalia is a female, so if he were to lose
his... See, there's no logic to it. It's just like a mind puzzle of how people thought about sexuality back, you know, 30 years ago.
40 years ago, 1990.
Oh.
That was 40 years ago.
Yeah, that's not good math.
No.
Anyway.
No, it wasn't.
So... It's just set up for failure in the beginning, and then so they go to Nilbog, which is their house is on Nilbog Street in the city of Nilbog in Nilbog County, which is all actually the case.
Nilbog Street, Nilbog City, Nilbog County.
And a lot of little weird details.
It's not a very subtle way of drawing attention to the fact that it's goblin backwards. It's like in your face a hundred times, you can't miss it. By the time they say it, you'd have to be the stupidest person on earth to not catch it.
Yeah, it's like it's the subtlety of dropping an anvil on your face, basically.
Like, for a town that's trying to keep themselves secret and like, haha, we should be this secret town of goblins, they do spell it out at every possible turn.
Yeah,
they're cocky.
Like, we really want you to know. How do you guys not get this?
Like, the kid's room at the house he's staying at has hundreds of pictures of goblins on the wall.
Yeah. I think they're afraid of getting caught in the same way that Pennywise from It is afraid of getting caught.
In that, not at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they get to the house and apparently they're still there for some reason. They're like, we're going to wait. And then one of the most awkward scenes in the entire movie happens where they don't like them. Like, and so the dad keeps listing off, like, different appliances that they own in the house. It's like he has to sell them on something they've already agreed to do for the next month.
They're already going.
Yeah, and he's like, well, we got a TV, we have a fridge, and they just walk away.
Yeah.
And then they don't question it when later in the day they have not left yet and they're standing around. And supposedly, like, nights have passed, I guess, and they're still there.
Well, they question it, but they're kind of like, hey, why are you still here? And they're like, well, our car broke down. And they're like, okay.
Not,
so where are they staying?
No, why did you not come back to your own home? They're just like, yeah, it seems legit.
Yeah. And then, so there's already a meal laid out for them for some reason, which they don't ask, they don't call the family and be like, did you mean to leave this out? And it just all has a bunch of green goo on it. but they're still fine with it. And then time stops because his grandpa appears. He saves the family from this green goo in a very interesting way. I had Joe guess what it was going to be,
and I
actually
got it right.
Guessed correctly.
I thought it was going to be a straight magician's trick tablecloth pull, but no.
I thought that too, but then I was like, you know what? I bet he pisses on the table. Lars, what was your internal dialogue when I got it right?
I was like, wow, that was a good read. So he just pees all over the food, and instead of like taking him to the hospital immediately for a very psychopathic action, they just get mad at him. Like, they're just like, oh, this food stinks now. And his dad comes up and says, one of the only funny things in the movie, which Joe found it quite amusing. Go ahead.
Well, you know what happens when they go up the stairs and he's got him on his shoulder and he throws him on the bed. And then he goes to take off his belt and he's like, you know what I'm going to do now? And obviously, if you didn't know and you had to guess, what would you think he's going to do next after he's so pissed off and goes for the belt? Like, what's your...
He's going to whoop his ass with that belt.
So then he says, I'm tightening it a notch because I've got hunger pangs. And
your sister and mother will have to do the same.
Yeah, and apparently hunger pangs, you can cure them by tightening your belt.
Well, yeah.
Hey, Ethiopia, we're going to send you some belts. Problem solved. It's all good now.
I kind of get it. Thought, like, if they're from a different country and
maybe
if you loosen the belt,
but
like if you loosen the belt, you are full. You've gained size because you're loosening your belt and you ate. So obviously the opposite.
And my question is they were planning on staying on this house for a month. And they are furious at this kid because he's ruined this dinner that they weren't counting on, that were very surprised by, and they have no other food. That feels like it's on them.
They have no other food.
Yeah, weren't they going to go to the grocery store or something? Or?
Like, they're very lucky that this family left a full prepared meal for them on the table, and while it sucks that the son peed on it, what was your plan when you were walking into the house not knowing that dinner was going to be there for you?
Mm-hmm. My
or
reaction,
breakfast the next day.
My reaction would have been like, oh great, now I have to do the dishes.
Yeah.
Okay, so when they were driving up to the town of Nobog, the boyfriend didn't show up at the house when he was supposed to. Instead, he and his boys rent an RV, which was something teenagers could just do in the 80s, apparently. And so they're...
Yeah, he's just ready to rent an RV for a month.
Yeah, just ready. And all his four boys are just like, oh yes, we're coming along on your girlfriend's family vacation for a month.
Yeah, none of them have conflicts of like obligations at all. They can just leave.
Schools,
busy
families,
high schoolers,
vacations.
Yeah.
And then
nothing.
It's not explained either.
No. And it's very important that this is a month-long vacation, except the entire movie takes place over 3-4 days, maybe? Could have been a week-long vacation.
Yeah, they didn't really get the bang for their buck.
But the boys have decided to park deep, deep in the woods of Nilbog. And apparently
not really
the
close.
Boyfriend's... Yeah, the boyfriend Elliot has told them that the town of Nilbog is full of hot teen women. It's not boys, we're very sorry.
Yeah, there's a lot of men instead, just a lot of middle-aged men who are sitting just right in front of the grocery store in the middle of the day.
Yes, no one in this town blinks or smiles, just staring.
They don't have human emotions because they're trolls.
Goblins.
Sorry, goblins. I was confused because Trolls is the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Troll, sorry. One troll.
And so one of the friends randomly just goes off with this woman that he just finds, and she's just like, save me.
Yeah, just a girl.
Then, well, not really like.
In shredded clothes, running through the woods.
She didn't even want to be saved necessarily. She was just like, I'm scared of these goblins. And then the goblins like stab him with a spear, and then they're just like, well, you can go.
Yeah.
That was so unrealistic.
He only seems mildly concerned by the fact that A, goblins exist, and B, he just got stabbed. He seems more annoyed by the inconvenience.
After he got stabbed, he seemed more concerned, but when she said, they're trying to kill me, and he sees the shape she's in, and looks at them, he goes over to them, and like pats them on the back, and he's like, my sheer charisma is gonna, like, settle them.
Yeah, he tries to be like a bossy to them, like, and now, you guys better go.
You better get out of here now.
Yeah.
It's not clear if he, like, doesn't believe they're actually goblins, like, oh, these kids in town are playing a trick, or if he's just like, oh, yes, goblins exist.
So Michael J. Fox and the random girl that he just met go to a witch's castle house, or I don't know.
You mean Chloe?
Well, they
Sevigny?
Go straight to her bedroom because her bedroom's in at, right at the entrance.
And... it's an arboretum because there's so many plants and trees.
Yes, into Chloe Sevigny's mansion, because that's exactly who I thought was coming down the stairs before I remembered this movie was in 1990.
And then she turns him into a plant.
Her into a plant first, because hers is instantaneous. His takes a couple of days and very slowly.
Well, she becomes green goo for a little while.
Yes.
Who would have thought it's the witch that later in the movie becomes, like, the hot love interest?
Mm-hmm. So anyway, they're right back into the story, because that's just a random aside that happens. Like, it's not really important to the story at all. It's just there.
Well, let's get back to the very important scene where the sister does a cheer dance routine in the mirror for a full minute with no explanation or context.
Yeah, she's like reciting a monologue for something.
Yeah, I was like, to be or not to be.
Yeah, and then her grandpa tries to call his son on the mirror phone, but gets her instead, and she freaks the fuck out and then runs, and then no one believes her. That's it.
No, she's like, I'm very deeply disturbed. I saw my dead grandfather. And then Josh is like, I'll switch rooms. And they're like, oh, then the whole problem is solved. Great.
Yeah, as opposed to just like both of them sharing one room. Like, just where there's not a scary ghost in the mirror.
No, psychosis is contained to one room and Josh is already infected. It's solving the problem.
Someone's got to stay in that room, obviously.
Because reasons. Anyway.
Four rooms, four people. Three, you know.
That's the law.
Yeah. Everyone gets their own room, and the parents share a room.
So they go to the grocery store, and for some reason, it's closed due to sermon. And so the dad picks up a vegetarian cookbook that's just lying there on the floor and falls asleep. And then the kid realizes that the town is actually Goblin, spelled backwards, and decides to get skateboard away.
Does he skateboard away, or does he run while tripping over a skateboard repeatedly?
Yeah, he rides the skateboard like someone who's never ridden a skateboard before, because the weight distribution for pushing with that foot just doesn't really work. And then there's a scene which is really ambiguous. I was kind of confused me, because if the music was meant to be diegetic in that scene, as in it was supposed to be playing, like that creepy organ music, then it might make sense to go into that random decrepit building and find out what it was. But if that was just supposed to be the background music of the film, and it's supposed to be otherwise silent in the movie, why does he randomly go into that shed thing? Remember, with the sermon?
It was unclear.
And it's very weird that they have a house that they refer to repeatedly as, this is the house that looks like a church. And then they have a sermon in a broken down warehouse. I'm like, I feel like there's a pretty simple switch that could have happened right here that would have, but no, never mind. Yeah, warehouse in a church, church in a house. Okay, like.
Yeah, it's backwards.
Yes, but we do have the.
Well, not even church in a house. It's like church in like the worst building in town.
Yeah, we do have the moment where one of the teenage boys, I lose track of all their names, goes grocery shopping and he asks for bacon and eggs. And the most terrifying shopkeeper is like, the entire town's vegetarian. And he's like, cool. Just accepted straight off.
Yeah.
And skateboards away with his gallon of milk.
That was for free.
Yeah, and he just gives him milk for free. And instead of, you know, like most normal shopkeepers in the entire world would be like, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have those things. We're a vegetarian town. He's like, we're vegetarians.
Bacon? What's wrong with you? Eggs?
Yeah.
Coffee is the devil's drink.
Yeah, he's like, here, have some milk. It's old. It's just been sitting out.
It's sitting on the counter. It's room temperature, and you clearly ran here and are going to have to run back. Hot milk.
Yeah. milk was a bad decision.
We're in the middle of your run.
So he tries some, and then it doesn't go well for him.
No.
And then he finds his friend and tries to save him because he's a tree now. And
the worst of it is he had terrible cramps from drinking the milk and then running.
Yeah. He seems really exhausted, by the way. Like, he ran for a while, but he's just like, I have to just fall down and lay on this pole for an hour, and I don't know.
I think he was supposed to be mid-transformation into plant goo.
He ripped the bark off of his friend's face like it was nothing. He's just like, Not like it's part of him.
He doesn't know if
him.
It's like skin or something.
He doesn't
though,
know
or...
if it's like his skin, his bones that he's gonna rip it off and then he's gonna go back to normal, but he's not gonna have a nose because that was his nose.
Kind of a risky move.
Yeah. Bold move, buddy. Let me tell you, if we're ever stuck in that situation, just ask. Say, like, blink once if I can go ahead and rip this off. Blink twice, I'm like, that's my nose, that's my nose.
So anyway, the kid goes to the sermon, and he makes the fatal convenient mistake of when he's going to look in on the people, he leans in on his skateboard to lie down instead of just setting it aside. And that makes room for the fact that the skateboard goes down the chute, and they discover him. And they want to give him pudding, or ice cream.
Ice cream. And the dad walks in on a room full of strangers, including the people who are supposed to be living at his house, about to force-feed him ice cream. And they're like, hey, don't do that. I mean, who's the real villain?
Yeah, like, his reaction is, like, it's a negative reaction, but it's not, like, as negative as it should be in that situation.
I mean, to his dad, from his perspective, the kid's already doing the shit, causing his shit with the goblins, and he pissed on the table. And so now they're, like, gonna probably kill the kid, and he's like, don't do that. But if you do, I'm looking the other way.
I don't think he loves his son.
I mean, he's more upset in the next scene when he finds the RV full of teenage boys. He's, like, yeah. Actually physically angry and shows emotion. Like, teenagers? But... oh, you're trying to kill my son? That's shame. Yeah.
But then he does another weird thing where he's like, instead of being like, you know what? Get the hell out of here, buddy. He's like, no, you gotta come officially with us to the house. You can't be hanging out with your friends.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... he does everything that is not, like... the thing that you would think he was going to do is the thing that he, like, the normal social thing is not the thing that he ever does.
I wonder if that was just the directors being like,
yeah,
let's make the dad extra kind.
But in a bizarre way that just leaves you kind of scratching your head.
Well, like, that's what makes them filmmakers, and they also did too much cocaine.
Yeah.
And there is a part that, like, I'm like, okay, so they're going to go full, like, horror movie because the evil witch goblin Credence pulls out a chainsaw to put it to Arnold the tree boy, and he just starts laughing like he's being tickled.
Yeah, he's just tickling her, or tickling him with the chainsaw.
Like, of all the places in the movie where the horror could have gone, it's like, aha, the murderer has a chainsaw. Tee-hee-hee! Like,
yeah, it's a very goofy scene. I don't, it's very out of place.
There was the part where the goblin stone need to touch it.
We'll get to that in a little bit. That's at the end of the movie. But,
as I was saying it, I was
And then there's the corn scene.
Oh, the corn.
Where the witch all of a sudden becomes young for some reason. She's like, I'm just going to go into the mist and I'll become young. And so she goes, she knows that he's there, and this random guy that she's never met just is in the trailer. The only one that's alive at this point, right? No, the boyfriend's still alive.
Aside from the boyfriend.
Yeah, but he's the only one left alive, and she has no reason to know he exists, but she's just there. And she, like, spooks into his television channel and comes out, and she's like, I got some corn.
And the fact that she was just on the TV doesn't raise any suspicions.
Yeah, he's not like, wait, am I being set up for something dangerous or even, like, curious?
Or even, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
All he cares about is that... is the teen girls or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, what's going on? And she says, well, can I come in? And
of like, course
yeah.
You can.
So they just go inside, and she carefully holsters her corn because she wants to use it later, I guess. Yeah.
She's
and
then got she, her.
Her lingerie corn.
And then she takes about you always got to have your pocket corn. Especially when you're going to go have sex with a random teenage boy. And anyway... she takes like 45 seconds to like trace her finger down to like his chest. Like it's like starts at the top of his head and like really slowly works her way down.
Like you're animating in Flash Animator and you draw one frame at one and one frame at like 1,000 and then you draw the line that connects them and it's like just like it barely moved at all.
And then she's like, hey, you want to take a bite of this corn with me? So they start eating the corn and she's like, well, we have to heat it up. By eating it. And then it starts making popcorn.
And popcorn is just raining down from every direction in sheets.
Yeah. There's one cob of corn. And it just makes, like, an entire RV's full of popcorn. And then when he wakes up from it later, he's like, I'm never doing that again. Like, he's not, like, horrified. He's just kind of like, well, I didn't like that.
Like, I did take the risk in it turning into popcorn when I picked up that woman on the side of the road. I knew all along that was a possibility. I'm never doing it again.
Also, this is how chemical reactions work.
And I mean, would you rather be in the seduction popcorn RV or at the silent clapping goblin party being thrown in your own home?
RV got, for sure.
Yeah, he got it easy.
Yeah, he didn't even die.
Yeah, so what she's talking about is the next scene is where all the goblin people who are disguised as humans again, they decide to throw a pretend party for the house, for the guests.
And the soundtrack to this party is out of sync clapping and la 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 la.
Yeah, they're not
la,
singing.
La,
there's no lyrics.
Like,
it's like the director said, "Come up with some lyrics." And they're like, "Oh, we didn't do it."
And they're like, "Well, just do this.
Just
thing.
Hum. Yeah. Just hum. We're humming."
And they're not. The family isn't creeped out by it.
Can we all
they're
just
like,
do?
They threw us this party in this house that we're staying at.
Mm-hmm.
Can we also just do some?
They don't ask like, "How did you get in there?" Or why is there like an entire military feast of food just available with more green goo, of course.
I was just going to say some out of sync clapping.
Yeah. So that's the soundtrack. Anyway.
That's what it sounds like. And that's the general theme of the movie the entire time.
Yeah, just if we could describe the movie in one way, it'd just be like.
Guys, imagine if we suddenly stopped recording. We're just like, oh, well, you just have to see the movie. All right, that's it.
I mean, the final scene is what makes it worth watching, so.
It is,
goodbye.
Well, so what happens next is just a bunch of bullshit, honestly. Like, they realize that they're goblins, and then the preacher guy, like, and then the grandpa comes back and says, like, here's a Molotov cocktail. Why don't you kill everyone? But then the preacher shows up. And he's like, no. He takes it.
It's like, no, Joshua, don't do that. Like, it makes you want to.
Yeah. And then the grandpa, like, throws a lightning bolt onto the pastor and sets him on fire. And we were actually watching an analysis of this movie. And it pointed out that you can actually see the flame retardant gloves and suit still on the actor.
Oh.
Like, it's not edited out at all, that he's in no danger whatsoever.
I mean, honestly, props to this director for bothering. I wouldn't have put it past him to just light an actor on fire.
And he even went so far as to say, let's use beige gloves because they're hand-colored.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not like, let's not put a picture of a hand on it at all.
I wouldn't have put it past him to like be like, oh no, we need cinema verite. We need the truth. So you have to die. But
17 actors die in the making of the movie.
Just for the greater good. And so what does end up happening? So they chase them to the... Oh, so they find out that they are goblins. And then they kind of... Everyone stares the family down. But instead of catching them, they kind of just like let them slowly walk away. So
back
they escape
into the house.
Yeah, they escape to that chateau.
My assumption is they let them go away because they figured they would just get them later and they wanted to have fun with them.
I think that would make sense in a better movie where I can assume more depth on the part of the creators. I don't know.
Yeah. You think they just didn't?
Yeah, I think this is just bullshit.
But they let them back into the house so that Grandpa can be summoned via seance. For the family, that is like, Grandpa's dead and he's never coming back. Goblins are definitely real. Grandpa can't help us. Don't be ridiculous. Their lines of reality seem to budge with very little resistance in some places.
They just give him a plot coupon to go back into the house at that point. And so they contact the Grandpa, and then it seems like little Billy or whatever his name was becomes a goblin.
Yes, I couldn't quite tell that either.
Yeah, but instead he just teleports over to the chateau.
And Grandpa gives him something in a paper bag, and he's like, this is what will defeat the goblins. Use it only when you have to, which is, you know, like when the time comes, you'll know.
And it turns out to be a bologna sandwich.
A double decker.
Mm-hmm. Which is the only weakness of the goblins is meat.
Meat.
Because they're vegetarians. Mm-hmm.
That's why he got so pissed off about the bacon and eggs.
Yeah.
Because in his mind, he's like, that would kill me.
Not if we eat it. Just if people around us eat it, we'll die. Mm-hmm. Just
probably if he eats it too, but...
Yes, probably.
Yeah, just the presence of meat and someone being like, yeah,
that the idea of eating meat.
But yes, if someone eats bologna in front of him and then four people touch a stone and concentrate
on what?
I don't know. Concentrate.
Concentrate on what? It's unclear.
Concentrate.
Concentrate. The power concentrate. Of goodness.
Concentrate.
He calls it the power of goodness, by
and
the way.
And at this point, the son is like, you have to touch the wall. The stone, and the family's like, what? What do
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, there's not
what?
Enough bullshit already going then, on, I guess, for them.
For them to believe, yeah, it's still out of their reality. Why would they believe the son? Like,
they hate their kid.
And then the dad is the one that's like, touch the wall,
yeah,
and they're like, okay.
When the dad says it's okay, then okay. It's a very patriarchal society back then. And I don't mean that in the social justice way. I mean, like, that's just like how the old kind of family used to be.
That's why the dad had to have the deep southern accent.
And then, so apparently touching the wall kills them all.
Yeah, touching the stone, all four of them. Maybe because they ate the meat and touched the stone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Step one, eat meat. Step two, touch stone wall.
Yeah.
Step three, they're dead. Although, when they go back home, apparently not.
No.
Everyone else dies, except for the kid.
Yeah, well, we don't know, because maybe it's just the mom.
Yeah, just the mom.
The dad says he's going to
drive... Oh, yeah, it's left ambiguous, everyone else.
Yeah, the dad's going to drive the teenage boy and his daughter to his house. Because he needs to go home immediately and not to the police or a psychiatrist. And the mom's going to take a shower and eat an apple.
Oh, yeah. And years of therapy are needed in this
for
case.
For all of them. But they seem to be unconcerned about his other teenage friends, which are alive, question mark?
Alive, question mark, is the truth for a lot of the characters.
Yeah. And so Josh is upstairs and another baseball gets thrown at him. Are these baseballs meant to help him or just taunt him that says... Yummy, mom is so good. And he runs up to the shower, and the shower's full of green goo. So I'm like, oh, she got transformed in the shower and washed down the drain. But then he runs into the kitchen, and no, her obviously still very human, naked and nipply body is being eaten.
Very naked, very nipply.
Yeah, it's really, like,
it's like a tight shot on her boob.
I didn't realize that the nipples would be so erect, dead. I thought it required, like, a human circulation.
No, just in death, nipples are the last thing to go.
In death, it's still the body's like save the blood for the nipple.
In death, nipples are last to go.
Let's write that down.
So it ends on the most awkward movie scream in the entire world, and Joe had some choice words about that.
What was it? Remind me.
He was like, I can't do it, but yeah, it's weird because like it's. Can you stop shifting in your chair?
Sorry.
Yeah, it's making a lot of noise, you little bitch. Okay.
Ooh.
Funny. Anyway.
Is this annoying to you?
Yeah.
Is this going to be hard to edit out later?
Shift more.
So anyway,
shift more.
They just die. A lot of people die, and he's probably going to die himself. There's no real resolution, just the goblins got him. Or it's implied that they did.
The kid?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. Maybe Grandpa Rick comes to the rescue again.
Unless he's still banished to hell. Which, he's
right.
A demon, by the way.
Yep. Banished back to hell. He said back to hell, not you're going to hell. He said you're going specifically back to hell. Unless demons caught him and he escaped. He's not actually a demon.
I don't know.
Maybe there's more questions than answers.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And I mean, I have to say with most of the shitty sequels I watch, I'm like, well, if you just tweaked, if this line, if this plot point, it could have been an okay movie. And the solution to fixing this movie is burn it to the ground and bury it. There's so much wrong with it. You can't... There's no recovery. There's no fixing it. I think the only other way is you steer in the complete opposite direction and go full horror parody. Because then I think it's brilliant.
I think that this movie was sort of a prototype for like a horror comedy. Terribly done. Sort of like what a Scary Movie would become.
Yes.
I think that's what the directors were sort of going for, and they just had a terrible execution.
I completely disagree. I think it was just people who shouldn't be making a movie, and they did. But
are
yeah,
you familiar
I can
with
see both sides of it.
Mommy Dearest?
No.
With what?
Mommy Dearest?
Monty Python?
Mommy Dearest. It's a documentary. It's a movie about Joan Crawford's life, starring Faye Dunaway, and you can tell everyone in that movie thinks they're getting an Oscar from
Wait,
the costume directors.
Monty Python?
Mommy Dearest.
Oh,
and in the movie they all think they're getting Oscars. Like,
or they think they're all Monty Python.
The actors.
Everyone involved in the movie, from the actors to the directors to the like the costumes are amazing, the sets are amazing, and the movie's just hot garbage. And like no one seemed to realize it until after they were done making it. And I feel like this is in the same vein, where everyone's trying. They're not very good, but they're trying.
Well,
I mean, I think outside of the director, the other actors were doing their best.
It seemed like the father was kind of over it. He was like,
I would argue very strongly against that. Well, he was doing
times.
The most.
Really?
I think he was really hamming it up.
Yeah.
Well, just at times. Just that he's not putting the emphasis.
He seems frustrated with how the film is going.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. Like, Credence, like, the character choices she made, they're horrible, but she holds on to him the whole goddamn movie.
The mother was miscast. She should have been a goblin.
Yeah, she could have just went as herself, and she would have been okay.
She could have been the witch. She could have been a goblin. She could have been, like, any of the monsters. She looked like Al.
Anyone who didn't need to portray human emotions at all.
Yeah, she could have been Melania Trump if that was happening back then.
1990, yeah, that's right about there.
It's kind of rude, by the way, but there's a lot of really ugly people in the movie. like that kid is so ugly.
Okay. That's so true. It's the weirdest looking kid.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate
to watched this movie with a friend, and her first comment was, "That kid has a weird ass pig nose." Like,
yeah. I mean, I hate to make fun of kids, but it purposely go out and look for the weirdest kid they could find, and it's like, you're gonna be a star.
I hear that the shop owner, by the way, was not an actor. I hear that he was just like, yeah, go ahead.
On a day pass from a mental hospital?
Was that it?
Yeah, he was in a mental institution for schizophrenia, and he heard that a movie was doing like extras casting, and his therapist is like, oh yes, pretending to be another person, that'll be super helpful to your recovery. Here's a day pass, let me know if you get it. And the guy who was supposed to play the shopkeeper never showed up to set, and the director, in the one act of good movie making, looked at this man and went, aha, he's the shopkeeper of the Goblin Town, and threw him in front of a camera. Everyone's lives got worse after that movie, and not because of it.
Maybe so just cursed. Like,
no, not in a way of it's like, oh man, and they never acted again. Wah wah. I mean, it is that, but also just like, and then half the cast had psychotic breakdowns.
Which ones?
The mom.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, they're trying to do a thing where they're trying to get the whole cast together for a screening, and they've got like every single person, like every cast member, the director's coming, and they're trying to get the mom, and it's taken them like a year and a half to track her down, and they find her in this weird apartment building, and she's got a sign that's like, trespassers will be shot on sight, and she opens the door, and you're just like, oh, a ghost.
A ghost.
And she looks so terrifying, and she's just like, I want to be an actress, but I also want to live in a town where nobody talks to me, and the electricity lines don't scream at me at night. And the adult who played the son is like, what sound do they make? And she just looks dead in the camera and goes, all night they scream to me, and I can never sleep. I can never sleep, so no, I'm not coming to the filming. And they're like, okay.
Which one?
I'm
the
like,
mother?
Yeah.
Sometimes movies are just like a certain kind of bad that they're just really interesting to learn about. Like, how did it happen like this? How is it so bad?
Yeah.
And the only ones who were like actors before the movie were the two kids. Like, everyone else was coming to like an extras cattle call casting. They're like, oh, you're the third lead of this movie now.
That's funny.
Which I can definitely get people who are like, this acting thing, I think I'll try it out. And then being thrown into, you're the mother and father of the lead character. That's the kind of movie you're going to get.
The father, they obviously looked at the father and they were like, you kind of look like Chevy Chase.
But he was just clearly like a small town dentist. He was like, oh, I'll be in a movie. And then was in this horrible, horrible movie. And it's his whole life. Like he has a, I don't know quite what it was, but he has like a version of the movie that like plays in goggles. And whenever any of his patients are getting any cleanings or surgeries done, he's like, here's Troll 2. You can watch my movie. And they're like, no, thank you. I don't need to. And he's like, no, 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 watch it. And then we can talk about it when you're done. And just puts it on them. And it's like.
He does that?
Yeah.
That's funny.
He just makes them nuts.
Wow.
And just he recites lines from the movies over and over again. It's like, it's sad.
Do you know what his favorite lines are?
You can't piss on hospitality. He'll say it to anyone who so much as looks at him.
Like someone comes up to him on the street, you're like, oh hey, you're that guy. You can't piss on hospitality.
Pretty much. He's like going around trying to get people to come to the screening. Goes, have you heard of Troll 2? It's this movie I was in. You can't piss on hospitality. And they're like, I don't know who you are, what you're talking about. Like, that's his opening line.
So one of the overarching themes in our viewing of the movie is that we just looked at the screen and kind of looked at each other and said, that's weird. Like, just lots of moments where it's just really weird.
There's no reason for it.
Yeah. Like, there's really no reason for all of his friends. I think they may have done that throwaway line about, you're always hanging out with your friends. And then they felt compelled to, like, actually show that. Because none of the side characters matter at all. No. They're not relevant to the plot.
I mean, I think they had to be useless fodder for the movie
so that
to
they
kill.
Could die later. There was nothing. There was...
Yeah, they're just there to die or get popcorned.
Yeah.
die. Popcorn.
Yeah, that one guy got popcorn seduced and then lived.
That,
like,
I think some people would pay money for
that. Life.
To get popcorn seduced and then walk away.
Yeah.
I think that's a question for another guest that we had on. But
yeah. Do you have a popcorn fetish?
No. Have you ever had any clients?
Oh, yeah. We had a dominatrix on the last episode.
I read her subreddit or her,
you saw
her
that?
AMA on Reddit, and then I saw it was linked to your podcast. I was like, hey!
So you didn't know that it was linked to our podcast when you stumbled upon the Reddit?
No, I'm on Reddit pretty regularly, and it was
cool.
The top AMA post, and it was like, here's some stuff I'm doing. And it was like, here's an article, here's the full story, here's the podcast, and I like opened them in separate tabs. And then I was like, the first one, what? Like,
oh man,
that's cool. That's...
Yeah.
So I'm a great follow-up guest. I'm sure I'm going to blow up just as hard.
We'll just do an AMA. Yeah, register an AMA. Maybe we'll hit the front page.
Do an AMA. Get it on the front page. We'll have you on right before. And we'll all get 5,000 listens.
So that's kind of Troll 2 in summary. Our analysis of it doesn't even do justice to just how awkward and awful and weird of a movie it is. I highly recommend everyone go ahead and watch it, as well as Best Worst Movie.
Yeah. And to anyone who's listening and saying, the way they're describing it doesn't even make sense. Yes.
Exactly.
That's not us. That's,
exactly.
That's just the movie.
You can't make
it
sense.
It doesn't care to make sense.
I really want to see the documentary now. Could you send me the torrent and...
Yeah, no problem. It's not actually a torrent. It's a legal stream and it was free. So, haha. That's what I'm telling myself.
That's my statement.
I watched like Troll 2 and the documentary back to back in a single day, and I'm like, I can get through this. I can get through a shitty movie. And I literally had to pause the documentary at one point and like go downstairs and like, oh no, too sad. Because they've been doing all of these like...
Oh, sorry. Joe was just like ruffling papers on the side. And he's like, he knows not to make noise. He's just trying to make noise, just being a dick.
I wasn't even thinking about it.
Why
I just grabbed
me,
this
Joe?
Thing and I'm like...
Dick.
But they're doing all these Troll 2 screenings and like everyone loves them and everyone knows every line and they're huge massive celebrities to them, and the dad, the guy who plays the dad, is like, I love this, Troll 2 is huge. And then they try to go to some like legit horror cons and no one gives a shit about
it's
them.
It's not legit horror.
It's just got no substance. It's got no flavor. It's got it's a little sparkly, but it's... What's with the green goo?
There's green goo in almost every scene.
And almost every flavor of the Croix as well. Yeah.
So you do an entire podcast about this. Not necessarily this sequel in particular, but you do a show about stupid sequels. Do you want to go ahead and plug it?
So Troll 2 is not the kind of movie we do, because we do actual sequels. And we do sequels of movies that got an original theatrical release and then got a direct-to video, TV, Netflix, etc. release. And we have different guests every month. I'm the host for every episode. And we examine kind of a one-to-one of what worked about the original and why did that not work in the sequel? Or what did they try to carry over? What did they try to borrow or enhance from the original that didn't work? And then the ones that do, because there are some that, you know, none beat the original, but that do really well and would actually be an okay movie. And there's ones like Aladdin 2 or Aladdin 3, actually, that like our guest and I thoroughly enjoyed. We're like, yeah, I'd watch this. This is a good movie. And then there's ones that are just like, I would only ever watch this for this podcast and then never again. The next movie that's coming out is Bring It On 6, Worldwide Cheer Smack. It's horrible. And it was one of the funnest episodes I've recorded in a while. So come check it out. We do episodes once a month. And we have some familiar people coming to review some movies pretty soon.
Where can they find your stuff?
I'm on iTunes. I'm on SoundCloud. I'm on Stitcher. I'm on every podcast hosting network that I could possibly find. You can check out our Facebook page.
What's your MySpace URL?
Damn it, you got me. Don't have a MySpace.
What about Friendster?
Stupid sequels too. No, I'm kidding.
at Friendster.net.
On Twitter, you can find us at Stupid Sequels 2, and on Facebook, you can find our Facebook page. We also have a Facebook group if you want to talk about the movies.
What about Google Plus?
We do have a Google Plus, sadly enough.
Is it Stupid Sequels 2 because the 2 would imply that it's a sequel?
Yes.
Got it.
Ah.
See, I caught that.
Stupid Sequels
right away.
Was
Joe's
fully available. And I made it Stupid Sequels 2. And I mean, not to share any of my passwords, but all of my passwords are puns on bad movie sequels, which like only ever I will know. And it makes me laugh.
Really narrows it down.
All right. So I'll go ahead and hack your accounts when this is done and I'll promote our show. But yeah, thank you. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming to discuss the movie with us, Chelsea.
Of course. And if you ever have another not sequel you'd like to discuss, I'm down.
All right. Well, my name is Lars. I'm the main host and editor of the first podcast. And this is...
Joe. It's me.
He's not quite sure. Joe.
Joe. My name is Joe. I am the other co-host today on the first podcast.
If you want to find us on social media, it's First Podcast Ever on Facebook, T1 Podcast on Twitter, The First Podcast on Instagram. The links are going to be in the description as well. If you want to donate to us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/firstpodcastever. And if you want to find us on MySpace, you're out of luck. I know that's really popular these days, but we're not quite on it yet.
On Friendster, we're the first podcast. And Chelsea, why don't you do one of your songs?
Another Nilbog song.
Another Mel Gibson classic.
Let's just all clap and just la la la.
Let's la la la. La 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 la